Chapter 2. Red. Red Jackson stands on the gravel at Kununurra Airport, Western Australia, watching an army truck driving away into the glare of the low sun. He shakes his head. The regiment might know warfighting, but it knows shit all about husband-wife communication. In his hand is a letter from Mia that's covered in mud, the imprint from the post office saying it was sent on the 18th of November, almost 2 weeks ago. Having fallen from the console of the truck to the floor, it was nearly destroyed by the driver's boot. Fortunately, the driver remembered it and handed it to him just now as he got out. Red stuffs the letter into his pocket, turns, and walks towards the tarmac. There was a time when he would have torn it open on the spot. He stops in his tracks and pulls the letter out again. She didn't have to write. The least he can do is read the bloody thing and read it now. A lot of blokes would give anything to have a woman like her. Nah. Red says the word out loud and keeps walking. She can wait. He dumps his bag on the ground beside a wire netting fence and looks up. A pink and blue sky seems to rush at him like a freight train. Nowhere, then everywhere. Kind of poltergeist. Maybe he should rip all his clothes off and slit a throat, just to see what happens. See if someone in heaven gives a fuck. Whatever. He needs to read that letter before he loses it. He adjusts his bag as a pillow against the fence, sits on the ground, and then stands straight up again, dusting himself down. 5 hours ago, he wouldn't have thought twice about plonking his ass in the dirt. He's been living in it, for Christ's sake. But half an hour from now, he's got a serious appointment. A shower, shave, jeans, and white t-shirt appointment. Takes out his knife and slits the envelope open. Inside is a pink sheet of paper embossed with a frangipani. Holding it up to the light, he smiles at Mia's trademark loops, which have always made her letters a work of art. A whiff of rose-scented perfume floats off the page. The first part is about how much she loves him. Next is a description of Oxy being an angel in the school nativity play. Then it's about the garden and the choir. Nothing about Green Avenue. Her normal handwriting stops at this point, and the last bit, which seems to have been added later, is a messy scribble.
I tried to call you. They said you were uncontactable. We need to get out of here. You've probably already seen that stuff on the internet about me and Tate. It's a lie. I didn't get drunk on Tate's yacht. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I'll be at Mum and Dad's on Wednesday, 2nd December. Mia.
Jesus, he says, running a hand over a freshly shaven head. Wednesday the 2nd is only 4 days away. This has to have been one of Mia's fundraising adventures. With Tate, of course. Maybe she didn't get paralytic, but she probably had a few too many and flirted her ass off. It explains the looks Red got from the secretary at the base when he and his unit disembarked. It also explains why Mia's mother, Ludja, had asked him to come and see her at the family cattle station.
Ah, this is shit, he says, holding it out.
He puts the letter down and sends her a text. The message bounces, there's no signal. He gives up on the phone and takes out a lighter. This time, there'll be no bullshitting around. It's going to be either him or Green Avenue. No more ass kissing. No more Tate and company.